Now, what have we got for you? All right. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. Now, I have an email here, by the way. And it's from somebody that says, "Hi, guys. I'm just back from a family holiday from Portugal. I won't say which package holiday company we used, an airline, but they should be all ashamed of themselves. My two young kids were so excited. It was their first sun holiday. And I'll be honest, I really need a break myself, as myself and my husband haven't been away in over 6 years since the kids were born. We got to Dublin Airport and the excitement in the kids' faces was very obvious, and they were blown away by the experience. And all the staff at the airport just couldn't have been nicer. We got on the flight and I just knew that it was going to be a problem. The plane had three seats on each side and it was full flight. My husband sat with the two kids and I sat on the opposite side of the aisle. There were a mix of young and old on the flight, with large groups of girls for a hen's party and a group of lads who looked like football hooligans. Two of the guys sat beside me on the inside, and as soon as they got into their seats, I could smell the alcohol off them. And they were in and out of their seats like yo-yos to the bathroom, climbing over me each time I had, or else I had to keep getting up. We were only in the air a few minutes when the drinks were being offered, and they ordered wine and cans of beer and proceeded to drink it down like it was the last day on earth. Then they started bantering with the hens party about seven girls, two rows back, who were all clearly off their heads as well. At one point mid-flight, one man asked them to all please be quiet with the bad language, as it was outrageous because there was many kids on the flight. And one of the hooligans started a fight with the man, telling him to mind his own effing business, and he leapt over the seat and threatened the man. The cabin crew were terrified, but they calmed the situation down and all was good again until they started singing songs, which were very inappropriate words, right into my ear. It was like hell. I witnessed the cabin crew offer them more drink and people started complaining, but it was like they were oblivious to the problem. I honestly don't know how we made it to Portugal, but it was terrifying. As I was getting off, I said to one of the cabin crew, why didn't she call the authorities in Portugal and have the guy that was being aggressive arrested? And she smiled and said, I could write a complaint if I wasn't happy. I'll be honest, it was a really bad start to the holiday, and I could see my kids were frightened by the whole experience. On the way home the other day, it wasn't as bad, but again, there were groups on the plane pissed, and one guy was barely able to speak getting onto the plane. And again, I asked the crew why he was allowed on. She replied that they couldn't leave him behind, and sure, he'd probably just sleep on the plane anyway. The reason I'm writing this is to point something out, that I believe that we should ban alcohol on flights completely, and even more so, maybe in airports. There is no reason for this behaviour. Regards. Now, do you agree? Should we ban alcohol in airports? Last night we talked about ban alcohol on the Dáil, but should we ban alcohol on planes and in airports? Let me know what you think. The number, as usual, 085 122 55. That's 085 122 55. Should we ban the sale of alcohol on planes? Now, let me go to Sarah first. Sarah, hi.
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good, Sarah. Should we ban the sale of alcohol?
I think you should ban the limit, what's given on the plane. Whatever they do before they get onto the plane, and limit the alcohol on the plane.
To what, like two drinks per person?
No, I'd say probably just one.
Oh, one per person.
And then if you want tea or coffee.
Okay, so basically one run up and down the aisle and just say, what would you like to drink? Glass of wine, can of beer, please. And that's it. No more runs up and down the aisle.
That's it. Yeah.
Okay, that wouldn't be a bad idea, actually. Yeah. Personally, by the way, I'm a non-drinker. And I experienced this once myself and Karen going back a few years ago. Now, I have to say it wasn't Aer Lingus. It was another airline, which would remain nameless. But people were pissed on the plane. And, and Karen had her daughter with us at the time, who was a little bit younger. And it was completely inappropriate, the language they were using. Again, it was a hens party and a group of lads. But it was just embarrassing. And it was quite frightening, actually, to see people getting that pissed on a plane.
Well, I think it's mortifying for them, actually. Like, I don't drink myself, but I did drink in the day. And it's the same at concerts as well. Like, that gets them my go, you know. You're saying the lady there was sitting down and the two lads between her, just getting up and down and acting the idiot. Like, there's no need. Like, they're going on a flight, they're going to be getting off it. Have a bit of respect to the people that are around them that are not drinking.
Yeah.
But in regards to sales, I think they don't care because they're making a killing with it. It's like everything else, like.
Yeah, well, it's a mid-air
care,
bar,
you know?
Isn't it? I mean, they are making money
out of it. And it's so easy as well, Niall. Like, my sister works over there, Lingus, like. But, like, it's so easy to just turn around and say to a person, here, if you're not happy with it, put in a complaint. You know, well, it doesn't work like that.
Well, you can, but
yeah, but you can. But like, there in the moment, you want something done about it.
Mm.
You don't want some, whatever you want to call them, trolley dollies coming up and saying, "Well, if you're not happy with it." You know,
I mean, in fairness to Aer Lingus, they are quite good at complaints. I put a complaint in many, many years ago to Aer Lingus because I got on a plane and there was blood all over the window where somebody had done something. I don't know what. But at the time, the cabin crew weren't very good. There wasn't any more seats, so they couldn't move me, and she didn't even bother to clean it. So I was really uncomfortable just looking at it in the corner of my eye for the whole flight. But I put a complaint in many years later.
Well, I was on a really long flight.
Yeah.
I was on a really long flight going to Beijing many years ago. And there was like hooligans from Ireland over to Holland. Like it was a totally different atmosphere. And then from Holland up to Beijing, it was like there was hardly any alcohol. It was mainly food. And everybody like was very pleasant. And it was like near the end of the trip, we all got to know each other because the flight was that long. But there was no like messing about with alcohol or somebody, you know, going around locked out ahead. But
yeah, I think it is traditionally Ireland and UK who tend to drink too much and a blame. But hang on, let me just go to Breda as well. Breda, hi. Now, Breda works in Aer Lingus, of course, and she works on an airline and she's cabin crew. Breda, I'm sure you've had hairy moments. I mean, what this woman describes wouldn't be very unfamiliar to you, I imagine.
No, but the thing is that I don't understand is why it wasn't cut off at the pass. I mean, there's no way we would tolerate that kind of behaviour on an aircraft. No way. And if your man was abusive as he was and threatened somebody, he would have been met by the authorities.
And that's what she said. Why didn't they ring the authorities in Portugal and have him arrested when he landed?
Well, I don't understand that because I can tell you one thing now. I've done it many times. They have been met by the authorities in wherever they're landing. If they're rude and abusive, it's not tolerated. I mean, we have three steps we can do, and the third step is you end up in a restraint kit with handcuffs. I have done that twice on flight.
Have you?
And I have no. I have.
So what? You pin them down and handcuff them?
We have to get them. Yeah, we get them into their seat, and then someone puts on the cuffs, and at the same time you're putting one of the restraint straps around at the bend of the elbows and pulling it in so they can't move, and then another one goes under the seat and clips into the back of the one at the elbows. And they're basically
it's like Silence the Lambs.
But we'd have to do it. Like if somebody's
and what would a person do to warrant being strapped into their seat, being aggressive?
Being aggressive and not taking direction from moi or whoever it might be.
Yeah.
This guy was particularly one. The first fella was really aggressive, very aggressive towards his partner and his kids. Was threatening another passenger. In the end, we went through the steps, we followed procedure, but in the end, we had to. And he was met by the guards when we got back in.
And how did you get him? How did you get him to cooperate to be pinned down or pinned into a seat? Like four or five, you have to tackle him at the same time.
No, well, we can get people to help us, but you have to. Certain things you can't do. You can't put your arm around somebody's neck because you could. Stop them breathing. Mm. So you can put your elbows on either side of their shoulders and push them down while we're getting the handcuffs.
So and you can get passengers to help you if you need.
Yeah, you can get people to help you. Now, it's like as it turns out, we had a couple of passengers who were more than happy to help us.
Yeah, because they're all pissed off at it too. But here's the thing: if somebody's drunk getting onto a plane, and I see this all the time, particularly on the package holidays, you probably wouldn't see it as much because you know the package holidays tend to be the kind of Ryanair's or the other kind of flights that do those kind of package tours, right? But when you see groups of people, you know, lads or young ones, hens nights or whatever it is, getting on, and they're hammered getting on the plane, why are they allowed on?
Yeah, well, I mean, you'll talk to them at the door of the plane and you'll make an assessment. If you feel like we've done it loads of times, we just say you can get on the aircraft, but there's no alcohol going to be served to you today.
Mm.
So if you're not happy with that, you can get off again, you know, and we make sure the crew know who it is. If somebody's buying an awful lot of drink, we communicate with each other and we'd say, cut them off. Just say the bars are closed now. We have to do an inventory or whatever, which we don't. But like, you'll always have something.
Why do you have to make an excuse? Can you not just say you've had enough?
Oh, no. No, we would. But like, sometimes that can push a button and make them more aggressive. So sometimes you have to.
And have you ever left anyone behind? Have you ever, somebody got to the door of the plane and you kind of went, sorry, you're not getting on this plane?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've refused people to get on the plane. Absolutely.
It's a guideline, though, like, you know, like when we all go on holidays, I've not once ever seen a guideline. Like, you know, while you're sitting on this aircraft, you travel this, that and the other. I know an awful lot of it's down to common sense, but like...
But we don't give out guidelines about alcohol. We're trained to look for the signs of people drinking their own alcohol and everything else. If somebody, it comes on and they're fairly okay, and then they get pissed halfway through, they're cut off. And we manage them like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah, but they have their own duty free in the bag.
They don't go in the toilets. They'd be going into the toilets doing lines of coke.
Yeah, and they have their own duty free in the bag.
I'm not being rude, but I've seen it happen.
Yeah, but just there, I can't monitor what to do in the toilets.
Okay, we're getting back to the original question. We all know there's a problem, right? There can be a problem, right? So, Bree, do you think we should ban this? I mean, why do we need to sell alcohol on a plane? Why?
Because
you don't sell alcohol on a bus, do you?
When I go on my holidays, Niall, the first thing I look forward to is my little vodka and Coke Zero on the plane because I feel my holiday has started. Why should everybody else be penalised because a couple of couriers get on the plane and ruin it for everybody?
But it's more than just a couple of couriers. If we look at the stories worldwide, you know, planes have been downed because of people, you know, grounded because of people drinking too much.
No, but we had a situation years ago. We had a flight used to go into a certain part of Russia. It was alcohol free. We were doing the Ibiza flights, which we don't anymore. We had to make them alcohol free. So they had OCS at the door and they took all their alcohol off them. We put it into a half cart and we gave it all to them when they were getting off. So you can do it. But I mean, if it's a normal, you know, Malaga flight or whatever, why shouldn't I and all the other respectable people be able to have a drink if I want to have a drink?
Hang on. Morris. Hi, Morris. How are you?
Oh, what's that woman's name? Breeda?
Breeda, yeah. Isn't she wonderful?
Hello, Morris. I'd
love you to put me in handcuffs. I'd be very tempted.
She'll restrain you there, all right, Morris. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Morris, I'm a redhead. I do that for you any time, Dad.
Lock me up and do what you like, Mrs.
Oh!
There you go. Anyway. Listen, Arnold, I was just talking to your researcher.
Yeah.
I was talking to your researcher earlier on. And, like, I'm a hard working class man like anybody else, and I like to go away on my holidays and have a drink. But I just came up with an idea, and she said, God, mention that to Niall. Any fly under 3 hours, no alcohol is served.
Oh, no, stop. I go down to Malaga. That's under 3 hours. No, Morris.
Two and a half hours.
Two and a half. He's negotiating now.
2.5 hours. Yeah, 2.5 hours and no alcohol. Because listen, everybody knows there's the fella that gets hammered in the airport and he has a bottle under his coat and he thinks he's clever. And then, you see, the staff can read them up at the gates and they go, Jesus, this fella is loaded. He's not getting on.
Yeah.
But if he gets on the plane and he's loaded and then he has his bottle under his jumper and he's swigging it, he's out of control already. And he'll get as much drink as he wants because he's out of control.
I've only ever seen one person being refused to get onto a flight, and that was actually, I was in Florida, and it was an Aer Lingus flight back to Ireland. And it was this woman, you just knew she was Irish. But she was hammered. Now, she didn't even know her name. Yeah. And sure enough, they didn't let her on. But on this flight, on the email, there was a person hammered on the way back. And they were allowed on. And when they asked the cabin crew why did you let this person on? They said, oh, we didn't want to leave him there on his own.
But like, he might be a big spender. And he might be a bit sloppy, but he's emptying out your drinks trolley, Niall. And he's buying cards.
Yeah, but they get commission. Bree, did you get commission on the drink?
We do.
Get commission on
whatever thing we sell. But Niall, it doesn't matter what commission we get. We have very strict guidelines about drink. If we have an emergency situation and somebody's pissed, they're going to be a hindrance to us getting everybody out of that aircraft.
But you're saying that to me. But I've been on numerous flights where there's numerous amounts of people pissed.
Ah, no, Niall. They're not pissed. They might be happy. Like, I'm sorry. No, stop. You know, you can't vocalise. You can't stand up. You can't whatever. You know, if somebody gets that drunk, they are cut off. And we will monitor them. And I mean, I've let a few lads on flights over the years, and I've said to them, "You're not getting an ounce of alcohol, but I'll give you a coffee, and we make sure that and have a little sleep there now, pet. And when you wake up, you'll have a roaring hangover, but you'll be getting off the aircraft."
But Morris, if I had my way, I know you don't like me now. If I had my way, I'd ban alcohol from planes completely. I'd ban it from airports too.
Yeah. No, but that's,
listen, that's where they're making the money and the duty free. That's, you're like, I can't understand how we can buy a bottle of Jameson in Larnaca Airport for €12 and it's €38 here in one of the shops. Come on, they're selling that at 12 in a duty free shop in Cyprus in Larnaca Airport, making a profit at €12, and they're charging us 38 here. So we're being ripped off.
That's the government.
You understand?
Yeah, that's
the
tax.
Government.
That's Yeah, it's excise duty.
But Niall, any woman that borrows money over credit union to go and pay for a holiday and pays it back all year, and she has a bad memory of a couple of arseholes ruining the holiday through drinking bad language, would you blame her not going on holidays again? So ban the flights, no drinking alcohol on flights under 2.5 hours, end of story. And if you can't go 2.5 hours without a drink, you have a drink problem.
Yeah, why 2.5 hours? What about, you know, a 6-hour flight to America, for example? You know, I mean, why 2.5 hours? No, I'm just going
to
say, if it's a longer flight, surely they drink more.
These short flights across into Europe are the ones that our people are getting hammered on. Like, I remember there was a...
The Canaries are probably the common ones,
Yeah, and Spain and anywhere, Italy, somewhere like that, you know? Yeah. There was a flight out of Manchester Airport, a Ryanair flight, and Jesus, they were 20 minutes in the air and they turned back and landed.
Yeah, because some arsehole was drunk. Yeah.
Oh, the whole tribe of people.
But
Morris, the crew should have sucked that before they ever got on. You know, I mean,
hang on, Brita. See, what happens is they'll have a lock of drink. They'll get on the plane just about there, right? They're able to put on a straight face, like the fellas who used to come up to the nightclub door in front of the doorman, and they can hold themselves together just as they got through the door. And then that one last drink they get on the plane sends them over the edge. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Exactly.
At the same time, you can control a situation. I mean, if they think they have control of you, you're on a hiding to nothing. I mean, there's no way I would have allowed what happened on that flight down to Faro on my flight. It just wouldn't have happened because I wouldn't tolerate it, number one. Number two, if he continued to carry on the way he did, we'd go through the process. And if I deemed it necessary, he would have been handcuffed and restrained and arrested when he got to Faro.
Yeah, Morris likes the idea of being handcuffed and restrained. Stay there for a second, Breeder. Let me go to Jessica. Jessica, hi.
Hi. Oh, God, I'm dreading my flight now to Manchester, I swear. Does any... Carry on. I'm literally going to say to them, just land me in the ocean and I'll swim the rest of the way.
Right, okay. So what do you think they should do?
I think, now I'm with you as well, ban on airplanes and airports. But I go one step further. If they can't do that, because obviously they see euro signs with the bears and all.
Yep.
So I'd go one step further and say, do a sobriety test before you get on the plane. So nope, you're not getting on until you do this.
blow into this bag.
Why do you not just wait till you get to your destination to get as hammered as you want? Why do people have to drink when they get on the plane?
Most people don't get hammered on flights. I mean, I'm doing them all. I'm flying for 20 years. But the exception is more than the norm.
Yeah.
I've seen countless nightmare videos, and it's half the time it is hands and stuff, but then you just see a group of idiots. And they would put you offline. I'm actually just considering getting the boat over there to Manchester. They'll probably get less of a hassle, hopefully.
35 minutes, you'll be fine. You'll be up and down before you know it. You won't have time to blink.
Yeah, but it's 35 minutes. 25 minutes. Stuck with an absolute gobshite.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you press the cob.
Yeah, but I was on a flight many years ago too, and there was the three seat situation, and the 22 of us, there was a three seat situation, and some gobshite sat on the outside. And he was drinking his brains out. He was the little bottles, you know, the little shorts, whatever it is that's in those. Anyway, and then halfway through the flight, he then proceeds to take the sick bag out. And he had his coat over his head and he was vomiting into the sick bag. And I'm going,
God.
And I'm going, like, why do they care? They could see that he was getting drunker and drunker, but they continued to serve him. Aer Lingus, by the way, Breda, can I point out on this particular occasion? And they continued to serve him.
Well, that shouldn't have happened now because, as I said, we have very strict guidelines when it comes to alcohol. And
yeah, but are you monitoring how much you give? Like, do you monitor how much? Like, would you be saying to yourself, I've already served him 4 cans now, this is his fifth?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. And if I'm in doubt at all and I think the crew are giving, I would ring down and say, passenger seat is in 5D, he's had 4 drinks already, cut it off now for the moment. just come up and say, yeah, yeah, I'll get that for you. And you go back down, you forget about it.
Right.
And then they ring the bell again, you go back up, you go, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I forgot. And you go back down, you forget again.
See, like, these are the tricks of the trade, Jessica. Jessica, do you drink, Jessica, by the way?
No, well, I mean, I do, yeah, but I know how to control myself. And as well, like, what annoys me as well, I just see it on my Instagrams and all, from people I know getting on planes. They'll literally be in the airport about 4:30, 5:00, 6:00 in the morning with a pint of Guinness or a bottle of, like,
oh, yeah,
vodka.
I don't understand that.
I'm like,
yeah,
how
I don't
can
get
you be
that.
Drinking this early in the morning? How is that even legal? Because the bars in town don't open at that hour. The hell is it the airport is allowed to?
I know. A friend of mine said, well, his holiday began in the taxi on the way to the airport.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's when his holiday began. And him and his mates would go into the bar, whatever they call that bar in Dublin Airport, the big one. They'd go in there and they'd have a fair bit of drink there before they'd even get on the plane.
But in fairness,
it's ridiculous.
You know,
wait till you get to your destination.
Yeah, I'm with you, Jessica. Why can't they just wait? It's only another 3 hours or 4 hours or whatever it is. If they go on the Canaries, it's 4 hours, isn't it? It's only another 3 or 4 hours.
Four and a half. You feel like you've earned your drink then when you land.
Yeah.
Yeah, but listen, again, it's a minority that do all this. It really is.
You don't be just complaining it off as a minority. See, I suppose, Breedy, you're with Aer Lingus and you're kind of, it's different, you know, you're not with the cheap airlines, right? The cheap airlines probably tend to get more of this because it's a different class of people, maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'm just, do you know what I mean? But I think the cheaper airlines get more of this because I have been on numerous airlines, you know, into holiday destinations, Spanish or Portugal or Canaries. And there's a fair few people on the drinking on the plane, particularly if you get like a hen's party or, you know, a stag party or whatever, you know what I mean?
But again, Niall, I mean, Alicante is a big hens and stag, like more of hens than stags. I mean, I've had 3 sets of hens on the flight going down to Alicante. If you approach it the right way and you get them on your side, you know, you can.
Yeah, but why even do all of this? Just ban it and that'll be the end of it. Then you wouldn't have to be approaching anything or have guidelines. There's just no alcohol. What's the big deal?
Because they're going on their holidays. It's, you know, I don't see why people should be punished because there's a handful of people causing trouble. And I'm not
because it's a handful that have made it such a problem that they need to step in and say, look, no, we're banning alcohol. We've had too much crap on planes. It's not worth it anymore.
No, as I said earlier, we had certain flights, like we used to do Ibiza, we banned alcohol because you could not, oh my God.
Oh, I'd say it was mad, yeah. Off their pickies, yeah.
The way you could describe it, like. And then we used to do a flight going into Russia, I can't remember the destination. And again, they used to be killing each other on board the aircraft. I mean, I actually got, like, and the alcohol was banned, and I had this chap one day, and he wouldn't give me up the bottle, even though the crew had seen it, and he had to be taken off. But he was 6'4". He tried to intimidate me. It didn't work. But, like, they had an awful job getting him off the aircraft, the airport police. And it was the right call to make. But I can tell you, not one of them said boo for the rest of the flight after it.
Okay, well, stay there. Let me go to Jackie. Jackie is a sensible person. I know he'll agree with me. Jackie, hi.
Hi, yeah.
He's not. Right. You're not going to agree with me, sure enough.
Okay. Look, like you say, if you ban drink, you know, on all flights. Okay, so people will get loaded at the airport. And the way people look upon this is that the holiday starts at the airport, at the departure. And that seems to be a major problem. Now, suppose, and here I know people will be tick with me over this, but supposing it was a case that there was some sort of breathalyzer. It thing that if you're beyond a certain level, you will not be allowed on that plane. So,
but you're
that
going to do
it stopped it.
I was thinking, okay, here's my new plan. I'm thinking, right? On your boarding pass, there are two little numbers, codes, like little barcodes, because as you know, they're all on phones nowadays anyway, or a piece of paper.
Yeah.
So there's two little barcodes, and each one of those barcodes entitles you to a drink. So that limits it to 2 drinks per person. How's that?
No, that's not going to work.
Oh, jeez. Why not?
But remember you were saying...
See, I mean, but there's no negotiating with Breeda here at all, Jackie. You know what I mean?
Right. No, but
there is, but what I'm saying is they can buy their drink before they get on the board and scull it down before they get on. So, like, the bars in Dublin Airport are not going to shut because that's where they make a phenomenal amount of money.
Yeah.
But they're not, Niall. There's not every airport you go.
And we need to get rid of that very expensive. We need to get rid of that very expensive restaurant too, in Dublin Airport. I mean, what, 11 quid for your bleeding breakfast? I mean, for God's sake.
Oh yeah.
A couple of sausages, a rasher, and
yeah,
it's dreadful.
It's great, Niall. Yeah, really.
Oh, it's a rip-off. Sorry. On a side note, Jackie. Why is it when you go into Dublin Airport, right? I've been in many other airports, probably similar to, but particularly Dublin Airport, and you get down to, you know, where the gates are, right? So you've gone through security, and there's a few little restaurants down there. Why are they not just a rip-off? They're extortionists.
Yeah.
I mean, that shouldn't be allowed. That's just taking advantage of people. Sorry, Jackie, getting back to the drink. Come on, work with me, Jackie, here.
Yeah, so supposing, as your other speaker says there, Raj, who's who would enforce that if there was a breathalyzing system or something? But sure, something like that can be automated in a sense as well. Yeah. Because why should someone who's loaded get on a plane? They should not be allowed on the plane. And there's nothing worse. And I went through this too on different flights where you have someone at the window drinking. And then I'm on the aisle, so every time they have to go to the toilet, you know, you have two.
You're up and down like a jackass. Yeah, they're climbing over you, whatever. Yeah.
Mother of God, you know, you're kind of going, when will this end? And the drink still keeps coming. They do not stop supplying drink to that person. I've never seen someone kind of being refused drink.
That's not true, Jackie.
But I'm only going on my experience.
It's his experience, Peter. Don't deny the man his experience.
But I'm just telling you, like, that shouldn't happen because there are policies for it. With us, anyway, I can't speak for any other airline, but we have very strict policies on that. Hmm.
What's your policy on the Mile High Club?
Would you go into that? I wouldn't. If you told me I'd be a millionaire tomorrow, would I go into that toilet and do anything in there? Really? I'd rather go into Wheel.
But I mean, do you get many people going to the Mile High Club?
No. Years ago you did, but not anymore. We had a certain team going to New York to celebrate a big win here in Ireland, and they pulled a young one anyway, and there was all sorts of noises and contortions coming from out of the big toilets. And the lady in charge at the time would have been a very strict lady. But she'd go down and knock on the door, and she was knocking on the door saying, get out, you dirty things, get out. And your man comes out swinging the young one's bra to a big cheer, and that was the end of it then.
That's classy, isn't it? Hang on, let me go to Joe. Stay there, Brenda. Joe, hi.
Hi, good afternoon, Niall. How are you?
How are you doing? Joe, would you ban alcohol from airlines?
Oh, I certainly would, Niall. Yes, I certainly would. I think that there's no
good man.
Respect.
Thank you, Joe.
I think it's an absolute I certainly think it's a disgrace.
Yep.
If you're getting on a plane and you see some fella or woman or whatever pissed out their brains, it doesn't do much competence really for a person travelling, like, you know?
Yep.
As you know, they have banned it now on trains, the Dublin to Cork trains. And
oh, have they?
It's banned from... Oh, yeah, Cork to Dublin train now.
Those Corkonians are very bold, like, so, I mean, you know, I can understand that.
Think Cork people don't get onto Aer Lingus planes? Of course they do.
I'm joking.
I'm just saying, they drink as much on the plane as they do on a train.
I worked out of Cork a couple of years ago, some of the nicest people I've ever met was coming out of the Cork airport. They were a pleasure to look at.
That's why they ban the drink on the train, because they're a pleasure. Yeah. Sorry, yeah. Joe. Go ahead. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah. Well,
I know you have. Yeah, she's still talking, Joe.
Is she? Any chance to get on to Simon Harvest? Yeah. I'm only joking. Don't worry. I'm only joking. I'm not like that at all.
I don't take offense, Joe. Don't worry.
Not at all. I'm only joking, yeah.
So you think it should be banned? So should it be banned from the airport as well?
I think it should now, because I think we have a major problem in this country with alcohol, and I think it's getting worse.
Yeah.
And it's not just drink now, I think it's drugs as well. There's an awful lot of people taking substances now with drink, and it's even making things a lot worse, like, you know?
Yeah.
And I think there should be a root and branch ban completely, because I think that there's nothing as bad as having people travelling on planes peed out or head pissed. Yeah, exactly. Pissed out her head.
Yeah, but Peter doesn't see that because she's an Aer Lingus, of course, who's classy airline. She doesn't see that.
No, I'm
just saying it's a classy airline, and that's his compliment. Airline. That's compliment.
We're very classy people that work on it.
Yeah,
well.
I know. I'm only giving you a compliment.
Well, you were a bit sarcastic now about it,
Niall. No. He wasn't sarcastic about it. Just said it's a classy airline. Thank you for that, Joe. Let me go to Angela. Angela, hi. How are you?
Ban it all.
Jesus, you're off and dry shite, the lot of you. Honest to God.
You know what the thing is? The thing is, Rita, right?
Go on, Angela.
I know I love saying this. I flew to the States last year, business class with Aer Lingus, right?
Yeah.
And
I hope you enjoyed it, did you, Angela?
Oh my God, Brita, it's like another world.
Isn't it?
It's really how the other half lives, Angela, you know what I mean?
It really is how the other half lives. Now, we got it on the bid for an upgrade, you know? Mm.
By the way, they used to call it first class. Now it's called business class, right? They don't call it first class.
I don't know why. I keep calling it first class.
Yeah, no, because they wanted to get rid of the classism. So I think that was the reason.
I genuinely call it first class because, oh,
same
my
thing.
God.
Yeah.
Brita, it's amazing. The staff are fabulous, everything. You know?
They'll even tuck you in and fix your pillow for you.
Oh, they tuck you in. I will do that,
no problem. If you want me to tuck you in and put you to sleep, I'll do that.
Now, Rita, I'm very bold. I took the quilt home with me.
Angela, don't be saying that on the air. Jesus Christ.
I don't know what you're on about.
You.
No, that here's that person. Somebody came in and said something there. That wasn't me. But, and it was a lovely flight, and all I drank on board was Diet Coke.
Mm.
And everyone was like, "Ya what?" And they were given percent. You could have anything.
Did you not even take the glass of champagne when you sat down? You know, in business class, they give you a glass of champagne.
Angela's about to say Prosecco. It's champagne we give out, Angela, in business class. Not the champagne
at the start. And it's not like it's lack of it, because they're like, would you like a glass? No, Grant. Are you sure? Do you want another one? Do you want one with your snack? They're so nice. And you can actually go up to the gallery yourself and help yourself to whatever you want.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yes, there's lovely treats up there and everything for you.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's fabulous.
Isn't it nice?
The next time I can afford to go business class.
Hold on a second, Niall. I bid on it.
Oh, you bid on it. Yeah, you can be, by the way, you can be very lucky and get an upgrade, you know, there's a knack to it, Breda, isn't there? If you go to the check-in desk, there's a way of getting a cheap upgrade, isn't there?
But no, but if you booked a flight in advance, they would send you out an email saying if you'd like to bid on this particular aircraft, and they'll give you an amount to bid on. And you'll either be successful or you won't, you know, and It's a lovely way to
Or if you know somebody who works on the airline, Breda, Amir, good friends.
I don't know, but I'm going to make friends
with loads of people who work in Aer Lingus to see if I can get upgrades.
You know how much it cost me return?
How much?
It cost me $700 for the upgrade.
Oh, but that's okay,
isn't it? The thing is, right? If you look at it, because everyone's going, that's crazy. I'm going, hold on a second, right? If you bring a bag back, it's free. If you bring another bag back, it's 110. If you bring another, you get 90 kg allowance.
That's right.
With the bags from the States home.
So if you're in business class, you're allowed to bring more bags?
Yeah, you're allowed to bring up
to 90 kg.
Okay, listen, lads, we're going off the conversation. Get back to alcohol. Okay, Angela, should we ban alcohol? Yes.
Absolutely. I swear to God.
If you'd availed of the lovely business class service that day, you could have had a lovely glass of wine, a cab sauv or whatever, with your dinner. I mean, why would you ban that when it's part of the whole ambiance of.
Yeah, but she's not normally in business class, in fairness.
No, I'm not normally. Normally, I'm back with the plebs, as I say. Back with the plebs.
The peasants.
We would and never you know call the worst thing is plebs, never.
No, no, I call everyone else they're a pleb. But the thing is, right, when you're sitting there, okay, and they're all langers drunk getting on, right, and they get on, they have their few drinks, and it's a 2.5 hour to a four. Have you ever sat and tried to smell those Guinness farts?
Oh, they're dread.
My God.
Divine.
Oh,
yeah, there's always a smell of fart on planes, isn't there? Because you've got 300 people cooped up in a little tin box, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it just needs one or two to fart, and then the air is circulated. No,
it's sometimes in the mouth of the bathroom now. That's the worst.
Yeah, that's right. And then all it's doing is circulating the dirty air, isn't it, really?
Yeah, well, no, it is. I know it's filtered,
but still, the smell escapes.
I nearly knocked myself
out here with a fart the other day, so I mean, and I'm at home.
Yeah, no, in all fairness, I'm proud of mine. But,
I thought women didn't fart.
Oh, we do.
No.
Karen told me that women don't fart, that they had, no, when they're young, they have a thing called a fartorectomy, where they remove the fart gland.
You cough in your undies. We don't fart, we cough in our undies.
We're gone way off the subject. Stay there, Angela, for a second. I was just saying that. Lorenzo, hi.
Hi, Niall, how are you?
Good. Lorenzo, back to the alcohol. Should we get rid of it? Should we ban it on flights?
It depends for the reason, I'd say. Yes and no, in terms of, I think I don't see the purpose of drinking on board, even if once I've been upgraded to business class, I drank a couple of glasses of wine. But the thing is, even going back, I heard what you were reading, the email was, and I think that firstly, if you're drunk, you should not be allowed on board first.
Yeah.
If you're drunk, you stay down. Finish.
Yeah, but who decides what drunk is?
I was at the door now.
You can do an alcohol test.
I even let the whole lot on. Come on, party!
No, but seriously, I would speak to somebody. I say hello to everybody getting on board, and I'm watching them coming down the air bridge, and I'm assessing people the whole time when I'm saying hello to people on an aircraft to see.
You're like the doorman in a nightclub, are you? Kind of thing.
Well, yeah, a little bit. But yeah. You're looking at people. If somebody's a bit grey looking, somebody could be crying. I'd be asking, are they okay? Or can I do anything to help them?
Nervous. You know,
there could be nerve. But you're constantly. It's just. You're
did you ever get a? Sorry for interrupting you, Lorenzo. But did you ever get a screamer? You know, somebody who's so nervous and terrified that the plane's taken off. We're all going to die. We're all going to die. Running up and down, going mad.
No, but I've had exceptionally nervous people. Oh my God, my heart breaks for them. Like when I tell you, shake from top to toe and can hardly breathe, but they have to because of their job or something. I mean, it's just, it's heartbreaking to see somebody because I love it so much.
Yeah.
But no, I've never had a screamer, thank God.
Yeah.
No.
Sorry, well, back to the alcohol, Lorenzo. You know, you're also saying that maybe we should limit it to maybe two or three drinks.
I think up to probably one or two drinks. But again, when you are on board, the responsibility is within the captain. So if you're messing around, be aggressive or something like that, is the captain that should take the situation on hand and decide what to do. Because at the end of the day,
Lorenzo, it's cabin crew have to make that decision with the captain.
It's the captain. Captain has the authority. But yes, the captain is basically piloting or driving the airplane, so the responsibility then drop on the
staff. Lorenzo, he can't make a decision unless I've informed him about what's going on. It's a joint decision. I went in and had to ask permission from the captain to use the restraint kits that time. He was aware of the situation because I kept him updated the whole way through. So between myself, who's in charge of the aircraft, and the captain, the decision is made. The captain's not going to say to me, handcuff your man, and he doesn't know what's going on.
But the captain is the authority on board. So the final decision is his.
Yes, but not without me communicating. Yes.
Yeah, but still, you know, whoever is head of the cabin crew, Lorenzo, would have to communicate all of that to the captain because he's sitting there flying a plane. He doesn't get a clue.
No, exactly. What I'm saying is he has to be informed, and is the crew that has to inform the captain. He's the captain that has the final decision on what has to be done. Even because at the end of the day, if you're drunk, you are...
He's not going to say, go out and handcuff someone unless I say I need to use the restraint kits. He's not going to say that because he doesn't know the whole situation out there. It's the crew that are dealing with it. So he will only make a decision based on the information that I'm giving him.
Mm. So Breeda's job is important, is what she's trying to say, Lorenzo.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
crew are very important. Of course.
The captain's flying the plane. He's too busy flying the plane to be worried about that kind of crack.
We're the eyes and ears of the whole cabin.
Have you ever been on a flight that's had to turn around because of an obstreperous passenger?
No. But I know
that happened.
My colleagues had to divert because of obstreperous passengers. I've had to divert for medical emergencies, unfortunately, a few times. But no, thankfully, I've never... I think people know I don't take shit when they get on board now. Mm. You know, people...
That must be hard if somebody's having a heart attack, for example, a medical emergency. And then you have to divert to the nearest airport, obviously, if that's the case. And
unfortunately, some of my colleagues have lost people on board the aircraft. It's never, you know...
If somebody... By the way, that's an interesting... Sorry. I'm not even going to tell you what my producer just said in my ear. Right? But that's an interesting point. If somebody dies on a plane, right?
Yeah.
And let's say, you know, you're heading to America, to New York.
Yeah.
And you're about, I don't know, 2 hours into the journey. So you're kind of, you've left Ireland, you're going across the Atlantic, right? And they drop, and they're dead, right? They've had a heart attack.
Yeah.
Do you keep going or do you turn around?
Well, it's probably wherever...
They're dead anyway.
If you're only 2 hours, but I mean, if we're working on somebody on doing CPR on them...
No, but they're dead. I'm only saying if they're dead, like...
But then the chances are we go back. If you're only 2 hours out, we'd probably be closer to go back.
Would you not just keep going? Because they're not going to come back to life.
If we're passengers around, you'd be traumatised. Oh, my God.
Most passengers wouldn't even know. You don't have to tell them. Just leave them in a seat. You'd be grand.
Niall, if you come across someone and they don't look right, you're going to get people out of their seats. You're going to go in. You're going to do your hello, can you hear me, and you're checking for breath and stuff. And then if you realise, you're going to call for a doctor on board, you're going to get...
Doctor comes along, he looks and he goes, yep, he's dead.
Yeah, but then we can't, you can't go for another 6 hours on a flight to America.
Why?
You have to return.
But you'd ruin me holiday. He's already dead.
But should we bring you the next day or we bring you on a later flight?
But you have to go all the way back, for what,
Because that poor passenger is no longer with us.
I'm winding you up. I am winding you up. Sorry. Let me go to Carl as well. Carl, hi, how are you?
Hiya, Noel. How are you?
Good. Carl, thanks for that, Renzo, by the way. Carl, should we ban alcohol from planes and dead bodies? Should we ban alcohol from planes?
Nice. Yeah.
No to both of them.
Can I just say I'm very sorry to anybody who's lost a loved one on an airplane. It would be highly unlikely that they're listening to us. But anyway, so why wouldn't you ban alcohol? Why not?
Look, some people drink excessive amounts. Look, I've never been on a flight where there's excessive amounts of alcohol.
Yeah.
There is some young ones who will go...
And young ones. Yeah, go on. Yeah.
Young people, you know. So we let...
Your phone's breaking up there, Carl. Your phone... You need a new phone. Your phone's breaking up.
No.
Are you on a plane?
No, I had to let my wife in the hall door.
She who must
God
be obeyed.
Help you. Not terrible. I had to let the wife in the hall door.
Has she not got a key? Would you not just give her a key, Carl? Be done with it.
No, you have her on a chain and she's only allowed to go so far in front of them.
I had this discussion before. Now, I don't own my wife. She's to go wherever she wants to go.
I'm joking.
Give her a key, Carl, for God's sake. Let her out of the basement more.
I'm going to ask her who is it all the time. Who is this? Anyway, I have a story about drinking.
Yeah.
Back in the 90s, they were going over to Kenya in Africa.
Yeah.
Friends, and they were on the plane, and one of the boys who was afraid of his life of flying decided to open up his bottle of duty free.
Okay.
And drink it straight
meat Bacardi, out of the bottle. Drink. Yeah.
Meat, yeah. And of course, he decided to throw up on the mate seat beside him, who was down in the bathroom at the time.
Right.
So my mate comes back and he's looking at the seat and the smell of it. And your man's covered in puke on the floor, all over his trousers, all over the seat.
Right.
And the hostess comes down and says to him, "You have to take your seat or coming into land." And he says, "I'm not sitting in that seat." He's after puking him. "I'm not sitting in that seat." "Well, so you'll have to take your seat." "You know, very politely, you'll have to take your seat." They cleaned the seat and they put newspapers there on the seat, or pillowcase covers. Remember, yeah. The elderly had at the time. And he says to them, "I'll tell you what," he says, "you sit in that seat and I'll sit in your seat. I am not sitting in that seat." Then the steward says to him, she says to him, "If you don't sit on your seat, I'm going to have to get the captain down to have a word with you." And he says, "That's even better. Tell him to sit in that seat and I'll land it up today. I am not sitting in that seat." Now, it gets better. When we got off the plane, we had to change his jeans in the bathroom and carry him through customs and say he took a sleeping tablet and he wasn't too well.
I can't believe that one, yeah.
Yeah, he dragged the bottle of Bacardi knee spray. Come on, yeah.
Yeah, I
know. So did you get through customs all right?
Oh, he got through all right, yeah.
Very lucky. He didn't get arrested.
He never went away with us again, put it that way.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Carl, these are all the reasons why I think it's a good idea to ban alcohol on planes completely.
No, I don't think you should ban alcohol. I mean, I've flown all over the world, and I've never encountered trouble on a plane with too much alcohol. I do read stories and say there is people who drink excessively, but it's excessive drinking in the airport.
Yeah, but 90% of the problems that happen on plane, the aggression on planes, fights where people are arrested by authorities at the destination airport, 90% of that is fueled by alcohol.
Or drugs.
Or drugs.
Okay, but they're not drinking excessive amounts on the plane. They're drinking
they're drinking it on the plane too. So it depends on which airline it is. Breda wouldn't serve them, but there might be others that would.
But if you're flying,
some of these cabin crews have no conscience at all. They're just looking at the commission. I'm not saying Aer Lingus, and I'm not saying Breda. I'm just saying cabin crews from other airlines. They've no conscience. They just want to make money.
But if you're flying to the Canaries, Niall, it's a 4-hour flight. How much alcohol, seriously, can you consume in 4 hours?
Because quite a lot if you're a drinker.
It's at least half an hour to 3/4 hour before they start the service after the plane takes off. And they cut the service off at least 40 minutes.
Didn't I hear before that somebody said, maybe the other night, somebody else that worked from Aer Lingus actually mentioned to me, that one unit of alcohol in the air
is like three on the ground.
That's three on the ground.
Three on the ground.
Yeah, the effect it has on you.
Yeah, because you're in a pressurised cap. Container,
that's what I'm saying. So serving somebody three is like giving them 9 drinks.
But Niall, years ago I had a group of lads going to a destination that was very popular at the time, and they came on, and I knew by them they were all fairly happy. Anyway, this fella asked for a few sick bags, and I said, "Get them down to him." And next thing, I'm up at the door, and somebody's in the bathroom, and he comes up holding his hand, and I went, "Where's the sick bags?" And he went, and next thing, I said, "The door." So next thing, he puked all over me, and then he turned and he puked all over the galley. Right, and then the bathroom came free, and I'm disgusted, let me tell you, and I wasn't happy. So I had to ring the captain and say, it was a lady captain, say, "Look, we can't use your one right at the moment because there's vomit everywhere and it wouldn't be usable as an emergency exit." And as I'm doing that, your man is coming out. So I put my foot out in front of him and I said, "I'll ring you back." And I said, "So where do you think you're going?" And he goes back to my seat and I said, "Not till you clean all that up." So I made him clean it all up before he went back in.
Good woman. No messing with her, Carl, I tell you. No messing with people.
No, telling you.
Yeah. Okay, well, hang on. I'm running out of time rapidly here. I need to go to Stephen. Stephen, hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm not too bad. I think it's a classic. My thought is, and I'm terrified of flying, and always was, but my idea is, when you actually buy your ticket, you have to buy 2 drinks.
Yeah.
If you want 2 drinks,
yeah,
that can be bought in the airport. You know, you cash it in, it's on your ticket.
Yeah.
And the same for the flight, if you want alcohol, it's all prepaid.
On
it limits everything.
Yeah.
And to be honest, you know, the worst flights I've ever been on, Aer Lingus.
Oh.
No harm to them.
Oh, Breda won't be happy. She won't be happy.
They were all coming home. coming home from rugby matches in Cardiff. Bloody hell, were they steamed? Because the flight was delayed.
Oh.
And that's what I mean. They were nice guys,
yeah.
But it was an absolute nightmare. None of them should have got on.
In what respect? Like, they were all celebrating a win, probably. And okay, they got delayed. But what way was it?
They got absolutely hammered. I'm going back a few years, but the most enjoyable flight, I can tell you this now, and it was back in the Troubles, I got an upgrade. And two very, very prominent northern politicians, leader of the country and deputy leader, naming no names, both I think have passed, absolutely steamrolled the free bar. and sitting beside them or behind them was, would you believe, Ronnie Flanagan, the head of the RUC, and he was just sitting there and you could see him rolling his eyes going, oh my God. And, you know, that's the funny side. The other, but I do think limiting the amount of drink taken, I don't care if the airports lose money. Mm. To be honest, it's safer. It's better.
Yeah, yeah, it should be about passenger safety. And if there's anything at all that increases the risk to passengers, it should be bad. Breda, would you stop? Look, we all know you work for an airline. That's, you know, but some keep defending it all the time. I mean, it is a problem.
It might be on other airlines, but I can.
I'm not having a go. Aer Lingus is a wonderful airline. I'm very proud of our national airline, right? But in saying that, he got on a flight. You can't deny the man's experience. He got on a flight from Cardiff on Aer Lingus and they were hammered.
But they were probably singing and enjoying themselves. And for like, it's a short flight, 30 minutes. I, you know, unless they're absolutely beating the living daylights out of each other, if they're happy drunk, I'm happy enough. I don't mind. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But it's a 30-minute flight. It's 2 hours beforehand and an hour getting out of the bloody place. You know, it's a time beforehand now. And the other thing, somebody did suggest alcohol. Nothing after security.
Yeah, I couldn't disagree with you that. And by the way, one other thing, I need to put out a really major announcement just before I go to Joseph, our last caller. Can people please stop clapping when the plane lands? It's just so stupid. Why would you clap when the pilot lands the plane? That's his.
Because it's nice if he got the plane down safe.
That's his or her job. You don't clap when the bus driver gets you to a stop or the taxi driver brings you to your house.
Ah, it's nice. It means that people appreciate that they've had a nice flight now.
Oh, you do you clap when my show is over? Do you go, well done now?
You're a bad humbug. Do you know that?
You always know the type of people that clap when the plane lands. You just know.
They're
the same people that sing, you know, on the bus, stop, I want to have a wee wee. They're the same types of people. Stay there, Joseph, hi.
Hello there, Noel. I know I'm coming on at the very end of the show, so I'll be brief. We're not going to have much to talk. I think I've come on the show a few times, and I'm always very against government restrictions. So I'm going to say no. It'd be a stupid idea to put a law against it. Because you'd have a lad down the toilet trying to figure out a putting still, you know? Government regulation doesn't work. Now, having said that, when you get on a plane and you're stuck in the same cramped environment with, 100, 200, 300 people for so ever long, you have a social contract to them to not bag it. Can you hear me still?
Yeah, I can.
And it should be an airline policy. Say, like, right, you know, anyone getting on twisted, you know, you walk a line as you're getting onto the plane, and if you can't walk a straight line, then you're off. And they can check out who's been buying a few drinks in the airport as well, because logged to your, you know, they can mark it on the passport saying, look, this lad has ordered 3 vodkas, you know, since the 6 a.m. this morning. So that sort of thing should be logged. The airline should know it. Now, if let's say I'm flying from here to, I don't know, somewhere in Europe, and I have a very important business meeting or whatever going on, and some lad gets so sick drunk, he starts a fight, the plane has to be diverted. I should be able to take a case against that lad and the airline, saying, why did you let him on? Why was he so drunk? And, you know, he has ruined my day. So, you know, they should be afraid of that happening.
Maybe he wasn't drunk when he got on. Maybe he wasn't drunk and he's sneaking his own drink. We can only monitor so far. But, like, after that, if somebody's sneaking their own drink and gets absolutely pissed and starts a row,
That's beyond my control. I'm monitoring that cabin the whole time. But some people are very good at having their own drink.
Everyone going into an airport can't bring liquid, right? So the only liquids they get are at the airport. Now, they should all be...
Well said, Joseph. There you go. Joseph, that's very well said. Joseph, they have to be getting on the plane.
No, they're buying it in duty-free before they get on the plane. They're being told in the airport you can buy 5 miniatures for whatever it is, and you can drink them on the plane. And then I have to say, well, you're misinformed. You cannot drink your own alcohol on board the aircraft.
Yeah, people do it anyway. Unfortunately, lads and ladies, Joseph, I'm really sorry that you come on right at the end. I do apologise, but we have run out of time. Breeda, thank you very much indeed for defending the airline, defending Aer Lingus with pride, as you always do. Yeah. I know you love Aer Lingus. Look up, it's Aer Lingus.
That's it.
What's the new song? Do they have a new one? No, they don't, do they? That's the
I don't think so. Yeah, but it's lovely. Come fly with me. Come fly. Come fly away.
Okay. Thanks, Breeda. Yeah. See you. Bye.
No problem. Bye now.
Thanks to everybody involved in the show today. Sorry, Joseph, for cutting everybody a little bit short. We just ran out of time. Unfortunately, we didn't get to speak to everybody. Don't forget, please do support the podcast. We have, as you know, each day we try and do a serious topic and we decide to do something a little bit lighter as well, or maybe a social dilemma or whatever it happens to be, you know, just to give you a little bit of fodder. All you got to do, by the way, is support the show. That's all you got to do. Our bills are coming in at the end of the month. As usual, it costs a lot of money to run the show every single month. Every single day, should I say, because we put it out every day. But at the end of the month, we have to pay the bills. We don't get paid. There's 3 of us work on the show. We don't get paid. The only way we can pay those bills is with you supporting us. Thank you to all those people who already subscribe and have donated to us in the past. We really, really do appreciate it. And we understand January, February can be tough months for everybody. We know that. It's tough for us. So please do support the show. If you can go onto our website and just click donate, a fiver, a tenner, a million, I don't care. Or if you can subscribe, it's $5.99 a month plus tax, and all you got to do is subscribe to us, and that buys us, like buying us up a cup of coffee. So please do support the show. Thank you very much indeed to everybody for joining us again today in your record numbers. Thank you very much indeed, and we really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.